All right, is this thing on? Hello and welcome to another episode of The Gray NATO. It's a loose discussion of travel, adventure, diving, driving gear, and most certainly watches. This is episode 359, and it's proudly brought to you by the always growing TGN supporter crew. We thank you all so much for your continued support, and if you're listening and would like to support the show, please visit thegraynato.com for more details. My name is James Stacey, and I'm joined as ever by my friend and co-host, Jason Heaton. Jason, how's 2026 for you, man? We're, what, 5 days in?
5 days in, yeah. And this is our second go-round with a year that ends with six, right? This is our 10th year. Pretty wild.
Oh, yes. I was trying to figure. I was like, I think both of you and I have been around longer than...
Yeah. No, but it's crazy. I mean, it's pretty wild to think. I think didn't we calculate a few weeks back? We were trying to figure out what the date of our very first show was. And I think it was right after SIHH 2016, which would have been late January.
Yeah, it was late 20s in January. You know, those of you who've been listening for a really long time, one, thank you for that. Two, we used to be on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then there was this great SoundCloud outage. And I was like, all right, I got to rethink this whole thing. Our podcast is down. it was like 3 or 4 days that SoundCloud was down. And in that span of time, we moved to Buzzsprout. So that's why I don't remember what number it was where we moved. It's probably pretty obvious in the show, but if you go far enough down on Buzzsprout where we're hosted now, you can see that all of a sudden every show came out the same day.
Yeah.
And that was the day that we migrated. So I don't have a strong option. You know, you go back 10 years, this is before my time with Hodinkee. Jason, you were a freelancer with Hodinkee at the time. And kind of we started a show, we had like, you know, 120 listeners, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. If I remember, I feel like that number was quite important, like breaking into the three digits. And then Ben at Hodinkee wrote a story about how we had started the podcast. Neither of us had talked to him about it. We weren't then, and over the 10 years haven't become especially good at self-promotion. And Ben wrote this story, and that kind of like immediately got us our first 500 plus sort of listeners, and we've kind of been going since then. And you know, it's been a wild ride, but yeah, we'll have lots of, I think, retrospective style episodes coming this year. You know, we have a couple cool merch ideas. We might do a 10th anniversary series of something. If you have a great idea, the Slack is the spot to put that in. We could make it happen. I think a lot of what we're going to talk about in today's show is about things we are going to do this year, and in some cases we aren't going to do this year. You know, we considered resolutions. That feels kind of boring, or maybe something we've done a couple times. Last year, for the first episode of January, we started the One Watch draft. Didn't really want to do that again, although I was wearing that watch for like many days of the last week. So yeah, I thought it would be interesting to do like an in and out list. I really like reading in and out lists. They give me more of like a mental footing for a new year versus it just being like a day on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It was a great break. Why don't we start there before we get into all that kind of stuff? I haven't really talked to you much the last few days. I sent you a couple images of things I got as gifts on Christmas. And then we didn't really talk until maybe yesterday.
Yeah.
So it was a nice break. I really put my head in the sand and tried to be, you know, with family and catch up on a few movies and read some books and that sort of thing. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been, I've tried my best to relax and kind of unplug a little bit. And you know, part of that we'll get into with our in and out list, the unplug part specifically, but yeah, it's been good. And it felt like this felt like the first kind of Christmas or holiday period in several years where it has truly felt wintry and kind of Christmassy. And I think before we knocked off for the year, I was either just getting ready or just finished with that winter solstice party that we had. And that was a lot of fun. We had outdoor fires and made some chili and, you know, some good drinks and whatnot. And then that kind of kicked off the kind of the holiday spirit. And it felt sort of festive. I went to a party on New Year's Eve at a neighbor's and you know, have went to the British Aero Awards, which is the kind of the awards for the best British advertising. Did that with a friend and went out to dinner and
cool.
Spent some time with family and Christy's daughters.
Any good Land Rover ads in the running?
No, you know, the it's interesting. We were trying to figure out too, like who's watching these ads? Because like who watches ads anymore? Like ads TV is not the same. I mean, these aren't
for sure
YouTube ads and whatever, but I almost wonder if they're just made for the award season as kind of a flex for some creative agency, but they're always great. That was fun.
Yeah. Cool.
And yeah, ate well and relaxed a bit and got some cross country skiing in. We've had, you know, decent snow, and it was actually quite chilly, although today it's warming up and getting pretty slushy. But yeah, all in all, it was a proper holiday. We're currently working our way through, I haven't done a lot of kind of binge watching in a long time, but we've stumbled upon Pluribus, which is the show on Apple TV that has proven to be quite good. I just like, it's a very unique concept for any who haven't seen it. Might want to give it a try.
That's a Vince Gilligan, right?
Very different. Vince Gilligan, like, just so unique. It's so creative. Like, there just aren't tropes from other types of shows. And the kind of the overall metaphor is just a really interesting one. And it's mostly actors I've never seen or heard of before. And that was kind of refreshing. So that's been good. And then, I just finished a book last night, actually, that was sent to me by, it was an advance copy sent by a TGN listener. Who I've communicated with for many years since I started writing my own fiction years ago, named Michael O'Donnell. And Michael does, I believe he's a lawyer by training, lives in the Chicago area, and he writes book reviews for The Atlantic and for The Wall Street Journal. He's written two novels. His first was called Above the Fire, and then this latest one is called Concert Black. And I just finished it last night. And it's really good. It's such a unique concept. It's not really a thriller, but it's about a writer who's writing a biography of a very famous classical music conductor. And this guy's kind of prickly and has some kind of a shady past, and he's kind of resistant to her writing it. And it's all about her kind of digging into his past and some of the things he did. And I don't know, it's a really unique concept, and I really have enjoyed it. So the book, I believe, will be published in April. I just wanted to give Michael a shout out and tell people to keep that on their radar. If you're looking for a good novel, this spring, Concert Black would be one to check out. But other than that, yeah, it was a good bit of a holiday break. I, as I've said before, probably every year for the past 10, this time of year comes around, the post-holiday period, and I'm just not revved up. I'm not firing on all cylinders yet. You know, I think so many people like hit the new year running. And that's never been me. I could use another week.
Yeah, I kind of hit it with tears in my eyes. I'm not sure I hit anything today. I got up on time. I got my walk in. Trying to stay sharp, all that kind of thing. We'll get into some of this stuff in a little bit. I had a really nice break. You know, I wanted to take as much from the team as possible, so I took over the social media and some of the other scheduling and you know, we're in budget developments and all this kind of stuff. So it wasn't 100% offline scenario, but as far as this job goes, it was as off as you're going to be while still being responsible. And I definitely really enjoyed that. I got a chance to watch a couple movies with my brothers. So shout out to Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, 1974, that is. Actually, the remake's great, but 1974, this is one that my brother Tim actually suggested on Film Club back in Volume 6 when he was on.
Oh, yeah.
I'll include that Film Club episode. Also, with it being 2026, we get to do another Film Club. We tried to limit us to one a year, so it didn't become too much of a crutch. And I think I've got at least 5 movies I'm pretty pumped about. Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, the original, absolutely incredible. Maybe crazy statement. Top 2 Robert Shaw performances for me. It's in there.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's incredible. That's saying something too, because he's done some good ones. Wow.
Oh, he's done some great stuff for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other one I watched is a movie I didn't know that my brother was raving about. And maybe it'll make a final note someday. Maybe it won't. But it's 1963's High and Low. It's an Akira Kurosawa crime thriller about a wealthy man in Japan whose son is kidnapped.
Huh.
And I wouldn't possibly give anything away about this movie. It's in black and white. If you're a film nerd, you've probably already seen it. If there's a chance that you're not, especially if you're a cinematography nerd, if there's a chance that you haven't seen it, go ahead and watch it, because I've never seen a movie that's blocked like this. I've never seen a movie that's shot like this.
Huh.
You know, has the pacing of a great Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And it's exceptional. I really, really liked it. So we had a great time watching those two.
Well, interesting you mentioned that one, because I watched the kind of not remake, but the Spike Lee version of that movie called Highest to Lowest just a couple of months ago with Denzel Washington. And I quite liked it.
Love Denzel.
Yeah, that was a good movie. So as you were, I didn't know High and Low, but now that you were describing it, I was like, yep, that.
Yeah,
it's the same plot, same. That's what he based it on. So yeah, interesting. I should try the original.
And I got to watch the new one. That's awesome. I mean, I mean Spike Lee and Denzel, former film club pick and Inside Man. I'm basically sold before Click and Play. Yeah, and then otherwise, I got a couple of I hinted at it because I sent you some images. You know, we picked Darn Toughs, or you'd pick Darn Tough socks for sort of our gift guide. So Sarah got me some Darn Toughs. I'm wearing them right now. Love them. I got a harmonica, don't be cool. Surprised if at some point the
new TGN theme
changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, harmonica. I've watched a couple YouTube videos on like the basics, and it's more complicated than it looks, like every good instrument, right?
Yeah, right.
But the other one, I think it was last year, actually, like Christmas last, like previous Christmas, where I had talked about these little Yeti, like espresso cups,
with
the ceramic lining. Well, mm-hmm. I got the larger version of, like, instead of getting two, it's just one, but it's, I think it's an 8 ounce, and it's awesome for a cup of coffee.
Wow.
I got a couple of gifts. I'm really pumped about that. Like those small elevations of the day-to-day stuff. Doesn't have to be a hugely expensive gift.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing, but just, you know, some good socks, a harmonica that, you know, I didn't need. and then this Yeti, it almost keeps the coffee too hot.
Oh yeah.
They need an option where you can say, like, can you give me the less efficient one? Like, give me the medium efficiency so my coffee will eventually cool down.
Yeah.
but that's been great. Awesome. And then speaking of reading, just last night I finished the last of Jack Carr's books. So I started reading Terminalist just after Jack was on the show. I had read part of the book before and then lost track of it and then watched the show. And then, you know, 2 years later, whatever, Jack was on. And I thought, great guest, really seemed like a solid guy, wanted to give his books another pass, and I blitzed him.
Yeah.
Wow. So I finished Cry Havoc just last night, so that completes that run for me. I have to wait. I did just see the ads for whatever the forthcoming option is, which will be good. And then we'll get into other books in a little while, because it's a book-heavy episode, I think, weirdly. The end of the year brings a specific thing out for me. And I'm always happy to share it. So we'll get into that towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, nice, cool. Well, before we jump into Wrist Check, there's a little bit of housekeeping to talk about here, and I have to apologize to people who've been waiting on some supporter kit shipments. So, you know, as you may or may not know, first time annual subscribers get a supporter kit, which we've done all along, since we started the subscription model, which is your choice of a 20 or 22 millimeter. Gray NATO strap with a TGN signed buckle, and then we throw a couple of stickers in, and you're given the choice of your size. And by and large, overwhelmingly, I would say 20 millimeter is the top choice. And lo and behold, we've run out. So I have an order in with our supplier for 20 millimeter replacements, but they won't be here for a couple more weeks. So those of you that are signing up or have signed up and are waiting for your annual subscriber supporter kit, our apologies and thanks for your patience. But I'm keeping track, and we'll get those shipped out as soon as we get them. So just wanted to include that in a quick note at the top.
That's great. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Always a good problem to have. And thankfully, the supplier is solid, so we should have some more straps pretty shortly. The wait will be short-lived.
Yeah,
definitely. And then we'll get those straps out to you. Speaking of straps, what have you got on wrist for the first episode of 2026, the first episode of our 10th year?
Yes, indeed. And it's probably a fitting choice, maybe slightly less fitting than a CWN1 would have been. But I've been wearing the Pelagos FXD. I mean, look, I realize I just sound like a broken record, and we kind of both do, because I think we have like three or four watches we just cycle through mm-hmm. most of the time. But I've just been wearing this a ton, and I've been wearing it specifically on the black rubber strap that came with it, which wasn't my favorite when I first got this watch. You know, I've always liked the hook and loop with the kind of the drab olive and the stripe. And then it just takes other 22 millimeter NATOs so well. But I've been kind of wearing this watch for everything. You know, I've been skiing in it. I did a sauna session, 80 minute sauna session with this. I've been running, I've been kind of putzing on the car and working around the house and shoveling and whatever. And I just, it doesn't come off anymore. And again, this is a bit of a preview of one of my in and out items, ahead here, but yeah, that's what's on my wrist, and it's not really going anywhere fast. So, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I wore a bunch of stuff over the break. You know, really wanted to try and get a fresh take on a few watches. I've sold a couple in the last couple weeks, just kind of clearing house a little bit. I don't think it's going to be as big a sell off as I might have thought. But we'll get to, like you alluded, some strategies that I may be employing this year to try and limit the incoming. But the one I put on today has just become sort of a fave in the last little while. It's the Vertex M60, the Aqualion that you gave me. So this is the Black Dial Aqualion. I just, on paper, it's a little heavy. It's a little thick. It's almost like an anti Pelagos 39.
Yeah.
Because it's about that size, but it's super chunky, solid steel, feeling like it's made out of one piece. It has maybe the best bezel in the game.
Yeah.
The loom is fantastic, so you can take it off at night and it works like a clock on your right. bedside table. It's just a really, really comfortable, easy wearing, heavy, solid sport watch that I've really, really come to see as like the balance to the Tudor.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I've got the blue version of that, the Taormina version that came out last year, and which allowed me to pass on my black one to you. And I'm glad you're enjoying it because it's. You're right. It's one of those watches with you know, usually it's a negative when you say a watch wears bigger than it is, but it definitely does. Every time I pull it out, I'm like, no, it's too big, but it's a 39 or 40 millimeter watch, and it's, but it's 600 meters water resistant. So it's a little bit overbuilt. It's just got a heavier case. But it's just got so much.
But it's not that thick.
Yeah.
It's actually, if you look at its profile, it's actually a lot of bezel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've really been enjoying it. I would say this is like among the watches that might have filled the Braemont S302 void for me.
Mm-hmm.
Steel, matte, you know, kind of good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
This wears a little bit more square shouldered. Like it's got something to prove, but I just really like it. It's a really, really pleasing watch in person. And to like pop it off and hand someone a Vertex when they've held everything else I own 20 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they turn that bezel and you just see the look on their face like, oh, that's real good. So yeah, no, it's a blast. I dig it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
All right. Well, let's get into the in and out list, and I'll give a very brief explainer. I think most people have some concept of what these are. The idea is that, you know, when a year ends or a new year starts, you'll see a lot of these kind of trendy outlets kind of offer these lists of like things that are out. Things that we're not going to be doing in 2026, or this could be jokes, it could be serious, it could be a mix of both, and things that are in, things that we will or recommend we should be doing in 2026. So, you know, just as an example, the very other side of the spectrum from a TGN, you know, like in Bazaar's 2026 ins and outs, which came out just recently, they're saying that voice notes are out.
Mm.
So leaving people voice notes, that's something we're not doing anymore. And then slow living is in, opting for a slower face, more attention to things that really matter rather than, you know, more going on. So that's just an example. Obviously, ours is going to trend more into the watch space, I think, than Bazaar's might. But hey, who knows? Jason, do you want to start off with a sort of watch one? And do you want to do an in or an out, or you want to offer both? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I was debating this, and you and I kind of briefly talked about it at the top, because I think so many of these have a corollary. You know, there's the you say what's out, and then you say what you're going to do instead. And yeah, you know, as I hinted at in my wrist check, I just find, you know, and I've talked about this and struggled with it, and I've written about it for many years, this desire to be kind of more of a one watch person. And maybe it goes along with this time of year, because it was last year that we did the one watch tournament. And vowed to wear one watch for a month, depending on what one our one as in WON, one our brackets. And for me, it was the FXD. And lo and behold, mm-hmm. here I am wearing it again. And I did wear it for well over a month straight over the summer last year. And I just feel like I think it was partially inspired by that that tournament that we did. I did a pretty major purge, and I think I'm lined up to do that again. Although I just don't, my collection has gotten quite a bit smaller, but I'm tending to wear the same two or three watches. And I think, I guess my, if I want to kind of tailor it for an in and out list, I think I'm just going to pack up the majority of the collection that I don't want to sell, but I'm going to keep, like some of the vintage stuff I have, and just put it away. Maybe I've got a bank security box that I seldom use, and I might just put it all there and just keep a rotation of maybe three watches and just wear them all year and not think about other stuff. You know, try not to be tempted by, you know, as hard as it is, the buy sell trade channel on Slack. It's just, I should unsubscribe from that, or, you know, turn off the notifications.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, let's not. Because every time I think I'm out, I see a Panerai pop up, or, you know, mm-hmm. something, or I'm visiting you in Toronto and Tom Place shows up and I've had a whiskey, and lo and behold, I come home with a Zin 144. So yeah, I guess out is, this sounds like a negative, but less variety for me when it comes to wearing watches, and really try to focus on just maybe a rotation of three watches for 2026. I think that's gonna be my starting point. It's the three that kind of make me happiest. Yeah, and it'll probably be the FXD, the CWN1, and, you know, who knows, maybe that's the 144 or something else. But then you bring up the Vertex in your wrist check and immediately want to go put that on. So this could be tough.
Yeah.
But I think with these kind of goals or ins and outs or whatever you want to call them, it's you aim for something, and if you come close, you're doing pretty well. So
I think I would agree largely. I've got a couple that kind of link up with this. One is when I'm gonna try and wear watches for a week rather than just be this kind of constantly, like, I've got three watches on, I mean, I'm doing it right now. I have two or three watches on my desk, I have two or three watches on my nightstand, I have a box of watches on a table across the room from me. This extends, so I would call that like the weekly wear, maybe, and then maybe also connecting to some of the other stuff you said. I had written down, and this is a concept that I talked about very early on in TGN, better part of a decade ago, of the box test, which is like, if you're not sure if you'd be a fine to get rid of a watch, just put it away, put it on a shelf, put it back in its box. You shouldn't have to see it. It shouldn't be like lined up next to your other watches that you're sure you want right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if months go by, like a lot of the last couple of watches I've sold in the last little while are all watches that I like. I still really like them. I kind of like them in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I have some of them I haven't worn in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them I loved and wrote a story about, and then just kind of stopped wearing them after that. And I guess the catharsis was the story or whatever.
Right.
Out for me is going to be, this is a two-parter, buying watches I've already owned.
Ooh.
I will eat crow when I change my mind on this one, and we all have to decide how stringent I have to be. Is it down to the specific reference number? Because there's a couple of really good aerospaces.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of them were just killing me. One of them, I think two of them aren't E56062, which is what I've worn, but are 40 millimeter gray or blue aerospaces. And like, I got money sitting in a PayPal account that's just burning a hole. Why? And I try and think back, because that's one of those few watches where I did sell it because I needed the cash.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a little bit of liquid at the time. And so maybe that's a good enough reason to bypass this. But I think for now, I am trying to stay strong. Buying watches I've already owned, or buying watches just like watches I already have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is it's so dumb when you zoom out and you go like, hey man, that's a lot of Black Dial divers.
Yeah. Right.
that's a lot of largely similar travel watches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, I guess it kind of is. Like, you know, what's really the difference between this and that and this and that? And you go like, well, that one's titanium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, okay, James. So these, you know, the out is, yeah, buying watches I've already owned, unless I can really rationalize it to myself. And buying watches that are really similar to ones I already have.
That's a good one. And I think it reminds me, you know, I love, you talked about retrospective over the past 10 years, and the box test was a good one. I'm glad you reminded me of that. But also, something that became a bit of a motto for me that I haven't thought about in a while is, you don't have to own a watch or anything for that matter, but in this case, a watch, in order to appreciate it, you know. And I think I struggled with that for years, buying the same one over and over again, thinking, like, willing myself to want to own it and to like it. For instance, I mean, I've had three or four Speedmasters, a couple of vintage, a newer one, whatever, over the years.
For me, I think it's the FOMO watch. It's a deeply unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
but people buy it because it's just, it's the one of the best marketed things ever.
And it's a great product. It's got some cool history and I'm a space nerd, et cetera, but it just didn't fit my lifestyle. And
that, and
man, another one that kills me even when I still see them, it's the Seiko, the 6105, the Willard. I've had three of them, I think, over the years, some really good ones, and they don't stick. And I've just got to remind myself, stop buying 6105s, stop buying Speedmasters. I mean, I just have to stop. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it entirely. You know, for me, these are like real, it's silly. They're all really silly. You go like, what's wrong with you? But also like the passion that makes you bad at making some of these decisions is probably what leads to like being part of a podcast.
Yeah.
So like you can't be entirely without it. Like you have to see it as a whole. There's so many scenarios in which you could borrow said watch, or you will see it at a wind up or a whatever. And I think the best I've done at this so far is not buying more Doxas. And the truth is that something's coming later this year and I'm absolutely buying it. And I'm sorry ahead in advance. you know, there's a lot of guys on the Slack right now running SOTCs, like State of the Collections.
Yeah.
And I'm always super impressed when it's like, wow, none of those watches are like the other.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You king.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even just an aesthetic similarity. It's like a usefulness. Like how many, it's almost like you're like, well, I have the DeWalt drill, but I also have the Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to buy the Ryobi. That's, you know, that's my weekend beater.
Yeah.
And you go like, guy, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's the out is buying watches that are just like the ones I already have.
I've got another one that's kind of, I think it's a good follow up to this. And it kind of goes along with what you're talking about with this idea of buying similar stuff to what you already have. I have the same, I'm going to make a confession here. I have a similar weakness when it comes to, pants. I have about four pairs of Fjällräven pants. There's another brand, Revolution Race, that's out of Scandinavia that I've got a couple pairs of those. It's this similar style, you know, some through dark pants.
Yeah, it's a bit of a uniform for you.
There you go. Thank you. Yes, it is. And I can't stop. I get a nice pro deal discount through the Explorers Club on Fjällräven, and that's just been my excuse to like keep adding different colors and styles and whatever. And I've got to stop. And on a bigger... The bigger picture is, and we'll see if I can hold to this, I'm sure I'll cheat at some point, not buy any clothes in 2026.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have so many clothes, and I'm not a clothes horse. I'm not, you know, but I have a weakness for pants. I have a weakness for kind of cool, chunky, like commando style sweaters. I've got, you know, I love good outerwear, good, you know, soft shell jacket, all of that sort of stuff, you know, whether running shorts or whatever it might be. If there's a need, a strong need, you know, I'd like going to Iceland in the spring or something and it's going to be rainy and I don't have a decent pair of rain pants, fine. But I just have to stop with, and I'm not a compulsive shopper. I don't buy stuff every week, but I just have so many clothes. And I think it's the same thing with a watch collection. Sometimes I feel like too many choices, it becomes a stress point. You know, it's that morning decision.
Choice anxiety.
It's the Steve Jobs black turtleneck, you know, closet full of black turtlenecks. Like it just makes life so much easier. And so that's kind of my out, I guess, for my second out for 2026 is just I'm going to stop buying clothes, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary. And usually it isn't.
Buying clothes that I already own. I like it. Yeah. My brother, one down for me, Grant, he has had a uniform for like a decade.
Huh. Yeah.
Like he owns 25 of the same t-shirt, basically, in a few different colors. He owns a dozen or more of the same Henley from the same brand and the same size in a few colors. Same with pants. You know, he only wears one of three different pairs of shoes. He wears a Halios on a red NATO.
Yeah. Wow. Done.
He's not thinking about it. And that does bring me to a non-watch in, which is cargo pants. I'm down. Okay. I think cargo pants are back for me. I've got one pair that I bought on a whim for like $18 at the Gap.
Yeah.
I'm wearing them now.
Wow. Yeah.
And man, I like being able to put my Kindle right in my pocket.
Lean into
then
it.
Then my book's great. Just with me.
Yeah.
It's for sure. I'm not saying they fully went away, but there was definitely a span in my life where like cargo pants were just for like the cottage. Mm-hmm. or something like that. And I think cargo pants have had kind of become like my sweatpants. I'm not a big sweatpants guy. I won't, like my daughters tease me, I won't leave the house in sweatpants.
Yeah.
I'll wear them for sure, but I don't want to be seen.
Right.
And now the upgrade for that is I just think like now that somewhat looser fits are back.
Yeah.
I feel with that for me, cargo pants are fully back for sure.
Yeah. Great utility.
Cargo pants are a good one. Oh yeah. Right. It's nice to have pockets.
Yeah, it is.
It's always
totally
good.
Is. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see what else we've got. Do you have another, any other clothing ones?
Clothing. Okay. Well, I guess since I'm not buying, it's not really a buying thing, but I would suggest that, or just throw this out there, maybe as a general in, is lean, you know, and maybe people already do this. I know I have off and on over the years, but lean into natural fibers, you know, like
natural fibers,
right? You know, like wool, merino, good cotton, linen, whatever. Like it's not a really hard and fast one or anything, a specific goal of mine, but I just think that, you know, there's enough plastic floating around in the world now that, that, you know, it's just always so tempting to just buy stuff that's kind of set up for, you know, these sort of miracle fibers that are waterproof and breathable, et cetera. And a lot of times it's just not, you know, nature has done it better or does it almost as well. And I love a good waxed cotton jacket or waxed cotton pair of Fjällräven pants, as I just mentioned. So
for sure.
Yeah. How about you? Any other clothing stuff?
Not clothing, but I think in kind of the way that you are might have been with Fjällräven pants in 2025, that was me with just subscriptions.
Oh, funny you should say.
And
that.
I think I'm out for subscriptions.
Okay, yeah, that was on my list too. Wow.
And my wife's really good at this. When the new year starts, it's like we do dry January, but it's not really just about the alcohol. I need to dry out for sure. She doesn't.
Yeah.
It's about like drying up all these bad sort of habits. Or just not even bad habits, just like things that you would go like, why would I do this for another whole year? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I know by the time the summer comes around, I'm going to start drinking some beers.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Right.
But let's work on a bit of a reset. And part of that is like a financial reset and like, look, money's fine. That's all good. All those sorts of things. But then you start to just dip into your credit card and you go like, boy, Amazon. And I get it. Like I'm not, and this is beyond like Amazon Prime, just the amount that I will go, yeah, I need that thing and not have any, no second guessing my thought on like, oh, there's a random little Bob that was mentioned on a YouTube video. That's $18. I'll buy that. Sure.
Right. Yeah.
And I use it once.
Yeah.
Maybe I use it 10 times, but it's probably something that I already own.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some metric, like a slightly different version of something I already own. So it's kind of like the Prime is going away. I think you will hang on to Netflix because of my daughters. It's an important thing for them. But the rest of it, I think we've called almost everything down. I'll hang on to Flighty because I get real utility out of that. But yeah, I just think subscriptions, and then maybe somebody in the audience will understand this. Maybe you guys will just think I'm insane, and I'm okay with both outcomes being a possibility and likely. I think I'm done signing into things.
Oh.
Like if I need something and I go on a website and they're like, you got to log in, or they're like, hey, you need to use the app. Yeah. I'm probably just going to find another way to do
it. Yeah.
I think I'm done. I got too many passwords. Got to use a password manager now. Half the time it's wrong, or I did it wrong. Let's be clear. The password manager, I'm sure, isn't wrong. If I can avoid it, I'm not signing into anything.
Yeah.
This is maybe like borderline peak curmudgeon for me, but I'm kind of done with like, I don't care if I have two factor.
Yeah.
How about zero factor? I'll just not do it.
All right. So this as you're talking, we're in alignment on a lot here.
It's real James Rooney
in
over here.
we're in alignment in this sort of, we're on the same track here. And I just wonder if it's the general zeitgeist or if it's just the TGN zeitgeist, but I'm feeling the same restlessness or resistance to subscriptions. And I say that with a bit of trepidation because TGN is subscription based and so is my Substack. And I have seen a dip specifically on my Substack with people just unsubscribing, and I don't blame them. I mean, I'm not here to plead. I do the same, and I'd like to do the same. I'd like to whittle away at the number of subscriptions I have. And your comment about Amazon, brings to mind this idea of kind of mindless shopping, and just that ease with which you click and you just get something at your door the next day. And what it really comes down to for me are two things, I guess. It's living a little more analog, which, you know, which I'll get to in a bit when it comes to kind of social media use, but also just identifying want versus need. And I think I need to take a pause. And I think nowadays, I think that's where, you know, sites, shopping sites and things like Amazon, they're set up, they're geared to bypass the want versus need because it's just too easy to just click buy now and have it at your door the next day. Whereas if you take a pause, and I think you brought this up a while back, it's like put something in your cart and wait 24 hours. It was
Kevin Rose's 24-hour
rule. Yeah, like that's a good one. And
it works.
And your idea of just bypassing it altogether, like don't bother signing in, is even a better bit of advice. But yeah, I just think living more analog, identifying want versus need, and just get rid of the mindless shopping, I think is a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think like while we're on this trend, let's just continue what I think is a very similar trend. I think in would be long-term buying. So we talked this a bunch, but I've never really made it like the cry once, buy once.
Yeah.
I think the other side of cry once, buy once is you spend a lot of time not buying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you know, mindless buying is a good way of thinking of it. I think, and look, let me be clear, the episode you're listening to is free. So if you want to end your TGN subscription because it's not adding something to your life, that would mean that it's out of scope and value. There's no problem there. That makes sense. I'm still subscribed to a handful of podcasts. I don't feel like they take anything from me to listen to a podcast or to be part of that sequence, where with the subscriptions, it would be like you'd look and you'd go, oh, I'm paying for Crave, which is like HBO in Canada.
Oh yeah.
And you go, well, am I even logged in? And you go to your phone and I'm not even logged into the app. I go to my tablet, I'm not logged into the app, and you go, well, I guess I'm not using it.
Yeah.
If you're getting use out of something, by all means, that's what, like $20 a month or $30 a month for something isn't that bad, or whatever TGN rounds out to a month, $5 to $8, depending on your plan.
Yeah.
Not that bad if you use it. Terrible if you don't,
right?
Doesn't make any sense at all. So yeah, I think like the long-term buying, like I think I should start to approach buying more things in my life the way I did, like my car, where I spent 6 months, looked at three of them, bought one. And now I don't think about a car anymore, which is a nice removal of stress from my life.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
This one's been a bit of a basket case, but knock on wood, seems okay currently. Let's see what else. I definitely had at least another one or two. Oh, here's one that I really feel like this would be one of the cooler flexes you could pull for 2026. Just not being available.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Don't answer the text that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I texted you four or five things last night.
Yeah.
And with no expectations you would reply to me in any due course of time. And like outside of work, I think I'm going to be a little bit harder to catch this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
My phone's not coming into the woods.
Right.
I'm offline.
Yeah.
So I think being offline is in my mind. And even if it's a planned thing, if it's that nerdy, they have to be like, this is this span of time, the next 2 hours after dinner, I am not reachable. So be it. But I think that feels like, for me, that feels like when somebody says they had, like you just said, you had an 80-minute sauna session.
Yeah.
There's very few things in our lives that Sarah and I want for, but we would love to have a sauna. Love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that is the height of luxury. You have a sauna or access to a sauna.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a few years younger than you, Jason, but like I grew up right when cell phones became like a thing that people would carry in their pocket and only cost them $20 or $30 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've had some sort of a tether when it first started only to the people I wanted. But now it just feels like almost like with the number of the subscriptions, the Amazon, the Netflix, the Crave, the HBO Max, the this, the that, you also have Instagram DMs and text messages and WhatsApp and Slack and Teams and phone calls and voicemail messages and Signal and Telegram and like all these different ways that you could be reachable. And it's not that I don't want to be reachable. It's that I want to be like way more selective about how, so that I can enjoy, like, I really like connecting with people on the Slack. I don't really like WhatsApp, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so I think that's one that's been kind of weighing on me. And yeah, I mean, the list keeps going, but there's a few more in this vibe, but I'll let you jump in with an in or an out.
No, I'm going to piggyback on that again, and just say that yes, being less connected is definitely on my list as well. And also, I guess it really goes along with that, and it's live less publicly. I think maybe it's the same thing, but you're right. I feel like part of, you know, look, I'm very grateful for the work we do, and I love TGN and I love our audience, but we're out there, we're public. We have a persona that, you know, for good and bad, you know, every week we get on and we talk about what we did in the previous week. And it's the same on Instagram. And so I've actually decided that I want to be more choosy about where I am more accessible in public. And so a week ago or so, I just removed Instagram from my phone. Didn't cancel my account or anything like that, but I've done this on occasion a few times over the past couple of years where I'll quit for like a month. It's almost like a dry January thing, but this might go on longer than that. But what I'm finding is that, you know, I'll reach for my phone almost like it's just become a reflex. I pick it up and I look at it now and, oh, I was going to look at Instagram, but it's not there anymore. I put my phone down and I reach to the other side of the desk or the table, the bed, and there's a magazine or there's the newspaper or there's, you know, a pack of cards or whatever it might be. Yeah. Like, do something different with that same amount of time. You know, if you look at your screen time on your phone, it'll tell you like how many hours you spent on Instagram or on your phone. It is ugly stuff. And like, imagine if you had those 3 hours a day back to, you know, knit or play solitaire or, you know, read a good book or, you know, what it might be. And I think that's definitely in the same vibe as what you're talking about and just being less connected. And also I think this is a slightly different, well, it's quite a bit different, but it goes along with my living more analog is, and also wearing my FXD all the time is I'm not wearing my Garmin as much. Like I used to like get that dopamine hit of like, oh, you did your fastest mile or you swam this far or you, I'm doing the same loops. I'm doing the same speed. I'm doing the same. If it's truly a workout tool that you're trying to improve and increase and train for something, great. But I don't need it to tell me what my heart rate was when I was huffing and puffing on my same lap around the lake that I do every other day. You know, like I want to slowly kind of strip away some of that stuff from my life and just use that time a little differently and just look around instead of looking at my watch, you know?
So I've been thinking a bunch about this and I will say that maybe it's just the nerd thing, the way that I was raised, the way I grew up kind of obsessed with technology. Yeah. For me, there's a big difference between how I feel when I spend those, let's call it the 3 hours a day or whatever on a small screen versus a big screen.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So for me, next on my out list is small screens.
Mm.
I think I might move away from the tablet entirely. It's the easiest one to quit.
Yeah.
I haven't had any time since my son was born to play Call of Duty, which is largely what I was using for the tablet for previously anyways. And I think that would qualify in my mind as like big screen kind of experiences, but something where I'm not interacting physically with the device.
Yeah.
Like if I sit on the couch and I put a movie on, that doesn't feel the same as if I spend the same, call it 100 minutes looking at reels.
Yeah.
I can watch a movie and then like I'm still jazzed about movies I watched 10 days ago with my brothers. As much as possible. Obviously, it's there's a work element and all that sort of thing, but small screens are out.
Yeah. Yeah. Me. Yeah.
Who knows if I'll stick to any of this, but
right.
You know, we're starting the year off in this mode.
Yeah. All right. You know what's in for me? This is a fun one. Bacon.
Really?
I had bacon over the weekend.
Whoa. I had no idea you could have given me 400 guesses. 400 guesses I wouldn't have touched.
Nope, bacon. I know you wouldn't have. Yeah,
man, bacon rips. I love bacon.
I'm there's a caveat. It's not gonna be a regular thing, but this idea that, you know, everybody says everything in moderation, blah blah blah. But it's like I recognize, you know, the reason I gave up largely, you know, kind of became a meat minimalist and stopped eating cheese and cream and whatever was because of, as I said years ago, I got this troubling test result that I had some plaque buildup in my arteries and that I was in a pretty high percentage category for a possible cardiac event. And I just thought, you know, I'm a pretty fit guy, but like clearly I'm just eating too much dairy and cheese and whatever. So I stopped all of that. But the way I see it now is so I bought a pack of good hickory smoked, like thick cut bacon at the butcher last week. And I just separated out the pack of it into individual strips in a big Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer. And like once a week, like let's say it's a Sunday morning and I want a couple of eggs and a strip of bacon, I can pull that strip of bacon out and enjoy it without guilt, you know? And so I guess you could expand that into a larger in or out or whatever you want to say it, but like
Just bacon.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it as bacon, but it kind of goes with like the drinking thing, you know, like the dry January thing. Like you could maintain that for the whole year, or you could say, I'm only going to drink when I go out with friends or when I'm out of the house or socializing, you know, et cetera. I guess it's the same principle, but anyway, yeah. Bacon.
Bacon, man, I wouldn't have. Yeah, that's fantastic. Question for you. How do you cook it?
Oh, cast iron skillet. Just throw it on. I'm kind
like,
of the
till crispy like a bookmark or
no. Not
this is a real thing in the bacon community.
Yeah, no, not super rubbery, but
I like it floppy. That's how I ordered at the diner.
Yeah, I like it sort of halfway between floppy and crispy. Too crispy and it's gone. It's too far gone for me.
It's useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it floppy for sure.
But I had bacon. A really good piece of toast from a local bakery with avocado smeared on it and bacon, and I kind of sauteed up some cherry tomatoes with like crushed red pepper and then a fried egg and it was like the best breakfast. It was great.
Oh yeah.
So not a daily thing, but anyway.
Yeah. My son's really into steak and broccoli right now. So we're getting along really swimmingly.
Oh yeah. Right.
That's like two of my most favorite things. he doesn't want to eat it rare. Apparently he's not supposed to, says the people on the internet.
Oh yeah.
That's small screen thinking though. So yeah, I got to cook his a little bit further, but yeah, so that's fun. Bacon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I've got on the inside. Experiencing discomfort.
Mm.
We've talked about this in the past year, kind of in connection to some of the videos from Speed and James Pumphrey and that team. It's a, like kind of a philosophical consideration of like, it's okay to be uncomfortable. And that's, I think that's part of the, like, not this instant that you're doing something else, you immediately pull your phone out and start looking at Instagram. Like you can just stare at a wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take in your surroundings. You can, you know, watch a bird or something like that. Like I think that's something I have to be much more mindful about.
Sure.
Cause it's so easy. And I think definitely since the sort of the rewriting of some of our wiring during the pandemic, or at least my own, I've just become kind of in some ways exceptionally lazy or undisciplined. Maybe lazy is the wrong word. I work a lot.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a lazy person, but I become undisciplined in how I spend my time. And then I find, and maybe some people listening to this will understand, but like, you know, you work a lot of hours in a week and that's fine. That's a good, honest way to make a living and that sort of thing. And then the weekend comes along and you don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
I ran out of stuff that kind of felt like it had to be done early Saturday morning.
Yeah.
This past weekend. And I considered just working.
Oh, sure.
And you go, wait, that's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're allowed to be bored.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's like a mental kind of thing. I've got to get back to being used to like slowing down a little bit, not just turning to my phone for the dopamine or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, I kind of term that out as like being uncomfortable or experiencing discomfort as being an in. And that could also be like workouts.
Sure. I've got one more in that kind of also relates to what you just said about discomfort or outside of your comfort zone and also working out. And that is I've started strength training, which is something I've never enjoyed. I've always been more of a outdoor endurance, you know, skiing, swimming, cycling, running kind of person.
Boy, deadlifts and bacon, you're going to be unrecognizable by summer. It's going to be like swole Jason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I'm an aging man here. I'm losing muscle mass every year. And also to prevent injury and kind of just maintain strength. I've embarked on a pretty mild but regular weekly strength session at a local, I don't even want to call it a gym, but it's a small facility with a kind of a personal trainer who does these small group sessions that are about an hour, and I'm doing it twice a week. And you know, it's very simple, you know, minimal equipment sort of stuff, and it's tough. These are tough workouts. I'm not aiming to get big and ripped. I just want to, you know, build up some some strength in my legs and my butt and my shoulders and keep good balance and that sort of stuff as I'm aging. And it feels good. I have to admit, it feels good. Especially this time of year. I can't say for certain that I want to be indoors exercising come May, June, July, but who knows? We'll see how it goes.
By then you'll be huge. You go to the beach, throw some weights around down there, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Get your plyometrics in.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's something like from 40 onward every decade, the average male loses 25% of their skeletal muscle mass. And that's like the stuff you used to get up off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're sitting on the ground, you stand up, whatever there, that's going to be 25% harder each decade. And I remember like Tim Ferriss really talked a ton about this back in the day. And it was a mix of, throwing some weights around, adding in some like light creatine cycles, whey proteins, things like that to try and really preserve what you already had rather than letting it decay and trying to build it back, which is harder as you get older, of course. But yeah, that's great. I'm happy for you on that front for sure. And what else have I got? Saying no, we talked about this is in. Saying no is in. We talked about this on a Q&A not that long ago. So the Q&As are behind a paywall. So if you know the Q&As, thank you for being part of that. If you don't, people can send in audio questions and we do them monthly, or we try to. We'll get to that in a moment. And one of the monthly questions we did recently was like, what's something like a character trait of the other that you would like to steal? And one of the things I've always liked about Jason is he's very sure about what he does and doesn't want. And while I mean this in only the most positive ways, he's not like an active people pleaser, which isn't to say that you're like hard to be around or not a great person. Of course, I feel very strongly that you are a great person and I find you a delight to be around, but you aren't concerned with just constantly validating what somebody else might want from you.
Sure.
And that's been a difficulty for me. And so this year it's just more saying no.
Yeah.
We're gonna work on it. It's in. Saying no is in.
Yeah.
Not being mean about it, just like if it's something I don't want to do, realizing that's just as valid as somebody wanting to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You got any other ins or outs?
Nothing big. I guess, I talked about this a little last year, kind of the empowerment of doing it yourself, tackling something that you might think you can't do or that you should immediately hire somebody else to do. I did a lot of it over the past year in 2025, and I just want to keep it up this year. Whether it's, Christy got into a little fender bender with her Prius last year, and I was like, you could take it to a body shop and spend a fortune, or let's figure out how to take the bumper off. And we did, took it apart, knocked out the dent, put it back together. Or wiring in outlets and new lights and plumbing. And I mean, look, talk about getting away from screens, but YouTube is very useful for stuff like this. And it's very empowering to just build something or just fix very simple things. And I really quite enjoy it. And I just want to do more of that. So yeah,
I like it. That's a good
one. I guess my last one, I guess, for other than specific goals, but I don't think we're talking about kind of personal goals, but for an in and out.
If people are keen on that, they can send in a question for the Q&A.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to talk about more specific sort of goals. I have just a couple just to close it out. The first one out is missing the schedule for Q&As. we're going to be more diligent this year. I'm not saying we're going to hit every single month right on cue. There are some exceptionally busy months in this world, but we're not going to do another round of catch-up sessions. If that's the case, we'll figure out something much more tenable, but I don't think it's that unrealistic given, we did six or seven of those in 6 or 7 weeks last year during a very busy season. So there's no real excuse other than attention, and that's something that we can fix.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be recording the December episode probably once I'm back from this week's travel, which by the time this episode comes up, I will be flying back from New York City down for some kind of start of the year meetings and that sort of thing. So yeah, that was the next one on my list was missing the schedule for Q&As. And then final, this is an in. This is one that I've really hemmed and hawed on putting on this list because I didn't want to put it out there and then not follow through, but I kind of want to put it out there so that I have to follow through to some extent. This is a some sort of a video project for TGN this year.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's going to be big. I'm not saying it's going to be small. I don't think Jason and I are going to make, you know, the spiritual successor to Listers. But watching that, I go like, what, like, we don't have a year to go look at birds, but we like, we've got a weekend in Chicago or in Toronto or Vancouver or New York. Like, there's things that we could do.
Right.
We had a Q&A question to close out the year last year asking us about like our perfect day. Mine was in Vancouver. Jason's was in Minneapolis. Yeah. That basically wrote the script for what a little documentary could be about doing one of those days.
Yeah.
So I'm open to criticism. If it feels like you think I won't do this, because I've definitely talked about videos, doing video in the past. I've shot video and then not edited it and not, you know, haven't had the time to put it all together. And I think I just have to accept that while I might be capable of capturing the video, Jason and I might be capable of going somewhere and holding phones and putting a camera on a rock or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to have to edit it.
Yeah.
And we're in a position to make that happen. And I would like to kind of put that flag in the sand and have it bother me mm-hmm. until I get the project going. Some sort of a video project. I don't know what that will be yet. I doubt it will be before April, because the next few months are just kind of nuts with Watches and Wonders planning and that sort of thing. But come spring, summer, you know, I need an excuse to go to Minneapolis anyways. But yeah, I wanted to put that out there to kind of close out the in and out, because I wanted that. It feels weird that after 10 years we don't have something we try and do that kind of extends the content into a new realm or a different realm. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we really don't do social media, we don't do Instagram live, we don't do all this kind of stuff. I think a sort of low rent, fun doc experience piece of some sort, like an episode turned into a video, I think mm-hmm. could be a lot of fun. So there it is. I might really regret saying that. We'll see if I cut it out of the episode before. Before it goes live in a few days. But yeah, those are the ins and outs for 2026. And one of the main reasons I thought this would be a lot of fun to do on mic is because I thought it would be a lot of fun to read everybody else's in Slack.
Yeah.
The minute I was kind of going back and forth on how to kick off the year, we didn't want to do another draft and that sort of thing. I just wanted like maximum sort of engagement in using, if that's the right term, the Slack to kind of like make our year the best year possible.
Yeah, bring it on. I love a good in and out list, so let's get a big one going.
Yeah, and if you think any of ours are dumb or we missed the point, aside from cargo pants, to be clear, you're wrong. Yeah. If you think cargo or bacon bacon and cargo pants, a cargo pants full of bacon, you're gonna have to like line the pockets with some tin foil or something, but still a great idea. A little bit of walk-in bacon never hurt anybody. Let us know. I'd love some feedback on this. If you might want to help us edit a TGN video at some point in the year, let us know. I'm not asking for anything for free, of course. We can figure that out. But yeah, I'd love to keep that kind of thing in the crew and you know, come up with a cool idea and put it on tape. So.
Nice.
Anyways, there's ins and outs for 2026. Some of these, maybe we can go back and review this list as one of the last episodes of the year. That could be fun.
Yeah,
I will make a note in December's calendar for that. But without the need to really stretch the episode too much further, you want to get into some final notes?
Yeah, sure. I will go first here. This is a story that was in the New York Times back in mid-December that I think popped up a few times on Slack and people sent me. And it's such a great story. It has so many elements of, you know, stuff that I like, and it's titled "How Did the CIA Lose a Nuclear Device?" And it's a story that I was familiar with, but hadn't really read in great detail. And it was about how in 1965, the CIA, dispatched a kind of a team of elite mountaineers, American mountaineers, to, join up with some Indian mountaineers and climb a very challenging peak on the border with China called Nanda Devi and plant a nuclear-powered surveillance device so that they could keep an eye on the Chinese. And when they got up near the summit and were planting this device, the weather just turned horribly and they had to retreat and go back down. And then they left this device up there. And it's never been found since. So it's lost. It's there, hopefully, not you know, in the headwaters of the Ganges or something like that, which is a big fear. And it's a story that has some kind of cool animations and visuals, great interviews. It's a long read. It's just really worth it if you're into, you know, espionage and mountaineering and, you know, the Cold War, and it just has all of those great elements, and it's really well done. There's this kind of technical aspect to it as well with the device itself, and it's fascinating. You know, maybe a lot of people have already seen this one probably, but we'll throw a link in the show notes. I think these gift links might work. I have a subscription to the New York Times, and I can put a gift link in, and hopefully that'll work for folks. But otherwise, you'll need a subscription to get past the paywall. But highly recommended. Yeah, it's called "How Did the CIA Lose a Nuclear Device?"
That's a goodie. Yeah, you sent me a gift link back when this came out, and I read it and just absolutely loved it. What a story!
Yeah, good stuff.
Fabulously told. Kind of seems crazy, but also, you know, it's in that realm of like, I guess this is real life.
Yeah,
right. And then the possible, I mean, for lack of a better term, fallout is remarkable for that area of the world. So yeah, great story. Definitely worth checking out. For mine this week, to kick off this year is, speaking of stories, it's a book list that last year, the 2024 book list, served me very well. I read, I think, 6 of the top 10. So far, but this is Anthony Jeselnik's top 10 books of 2025. So Anthony Jeselnik is a somewhat controversial kind of dark comedian. I like Anthony a lot. His comedy is quite surprising. It makes me giggle. If it offends you, I also totally understand that perspective. The other thing about Anthony, and he used to have a fantastic podcast, which ended, is he's an avid reader. And if you're a big fan of his podcast, JRVP, they were often recommending books. And then at the end of the year, they would do like their favorite books of the year, he and Greg Rosenthal. And I would always pick one or two of those, whatever kind of sounded up my alley. And then last year with the show having wound down, I worked my way through several of the books. That's and some that I recommended on the show, Martyr, Chain Gang All-Stars. I think it was called In the Heart of the West or Heart of the West. I can't remember. All ones I really enjoyed. Well, this year he's starting a book club. So not only is he picking a book each month, and I believe he just announced the first one in the last couple of days, but he also did his top 10 books of 2025. So I'll just link to the video that he did for his YouTube channel. I'm already about halfway through the number one book, which is a nice short story, which is called Perfection by Vincenzo Latronico. Translated by Sophie Hughes. So far, really enjoying it. I finished, like I said at the top of the show, I finished the final Jack Carr, Cry Havoc, and I really enjoyed the majority of those books. Great stories, thrilling adventure, at times just incredibly violent and all that kind of thing. And man, to go from that into something like Perfection, whole head spin in terms of scope and story and that sort of thing. But I'm really pumped. I'll probably work my way through at least this, the Kindle like sample of each of these books, which is what I did with the previous year. And if I enjoy the sample, then I can check out the rest of the book. But yeah, there's 10 to start. And then if you're an avid reader or you want to get into reading, he's representing one book a month. The first of which is The Getaway by Jim Thompson, which is a kind of a classic American crime thriller. I believe it was called the genre is kind of, I think it's called Groin Kick. I've never read the book. I will get to that at some point, hopefully before the end of the month, especially if this turns into something like a podcast or a monthly video where he talks about the book. That would be great. So give it a try. I don't think that even if you find his comedy not up your alley, I don't think you'll be bothered by the presentation of the books. It's just a guy sitting at a desk. He's wearing a good watch. I'm a fan, and he has a taste in books that's like quite, I would say, different than my normal zone, but one that has almost always proven to be quite entertaining.
Nice. I think, you know, given some of what we talked about in the ins and outs about less screen time, moving to a more analog existence, et cetera, I think this is a timely recommendation, and I also think it's a good idea to reinstate the TGN book club later in the year as well. I think we could certainly do our own little kind of list, kind of revisit.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't just ape Anthony's.
Yeah, exactly right.
I might only be reading those books, but we'll see. I'm definitely looking forward to that and all those. But hey, there's a first episode of the year, the first episode of our 10th year. Looking forward to seeing ins and outs on Slack. So let's have at it. I think it'll be a really fun thread. I'm sure there's stuff that I need out and things I need in. And I'm interested to see what I can learn from such a thread. So pretty solid episode and a nice way to kick off the year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to everybody. And as always, thanks so much for listening. If you want to subscribe to the show notes, get into the comments for each episode, or consider supporting the show directly, and maybe even grab a new TGN signed NATO, please visit thegreynato.com. Music throughout a siesta by Jazzar via the Free Music Archive until James gets on that harmonica theme song that he's working on.
It's just a matter of time. Maybe I'll do the same song just in the harmonica. Oh, there you go. Who knows, right? But hey, we'll leave you with this quote from Bob Black. He said, "The reinvention of daily life means marching off the edge of our maps."